Here on this beautiful Sunday morning, welcome to the Rules Committee meeting. Presidents, Representative Olson, Speaker Chenault, Osterman, Representative Grunberg, Representative Tuck, and myself, Chair Johnson. Today we're going to take up SB 104, Manufactured Home is Real Property, SB 25, ADA, Sustainable Energy Interest, SB 74, Insurance Cover for Autism, and SB 23, Film Tax Credits. Representative, we're going to start with 104. We do have a CS before us, and I would like a motion to move the CS.
Mr. Chair, I would move to adopt the blank CS labeled 27LS0467-T.
Thank you, and I will object for discussion purposes. And with that, Representative Munoz, you want to come forward and talk about what we've done to this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. Before I start, I want to acknowledge the chair of the bill. The sponsor of the bill, Senator French, is here in the room, too. He can answer specific questions about the manufactured homes piece. But the language that's added in this CS addresses the tax deferral option to municipalities for the increased value of property due to a subdivision. So what happens currently is when a developer subdivides a piece of property, as soon as the paperwork is filed, the property tax assessment is recalculated at a rate sometimes 5 times or 10 times greater than the pre-application amount. And so this language would allow municipalities the option of deferring that additional tax burden for up to 5 years or until the time that the lot sold or a house was built. The language is included in the title as well as specifically on page 13 in section 2945.051. And then on page 22, we also include severability language under AS0110030.
Any questions of the maker of the amendment, Representative Grunberg?
You went a little fast, Representative. Page 13, what section there?
Page 13, section 2945051 is the new section that addresses tax deferrals for subdivided properties. And it continues to the top of page 14.
Mm-hmm. 2945051?
Are you on version
section 22?
Version T.
I'm looking at version T.
Oh.
I'm looking at the wrong version.
Page 13.
I'm sorry, I was on the wrong page.
Section 22.
Section 22. And the tax deferral would apply to section 2945051.
And this is similar to, what was your bill number?
264. It's the same language.
Yeah, just so I can get my file. Right. And there's a severability clause on here.
Yes, on the last page. I'm sorry. Is it on the last page? Yes, Mr. Chairman, on page 22.
I see, section 32.
Representative Grunberg.
No, that's fine. That's just flagged for me, so I know.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? With that, I'm going to open any public testimony. Senator French, would you like to come up first? You are public on this side of the building. Thank you. If you put your name on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. My name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate.
Thank you, Hollis. Senator French, I'm sorry. Any comments on this? Are you comfortable with what's happening here?
Let the record reflect I'm pretty okay going up and down, yes.
Affirmative nod. Yeah. Any questions for the other portion of the bill sponsor? Thank you, Alice. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify on SB 104? Do we have anyone online who would like to testify? Going, gone. We'll close public testimony. That brings SB 104 back to the committee for discussion. Is there any committee discussion? Hearing and seeing none, Representative Olson.
I move to report out of committee as amended with attached recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Any objections?
And that was version T.
Version T. Hearing and seeing none, 104 passes out of committee. That brings before us, we're going to put 120, we're going to put 25, we're going to move that down. This will bring us to SB 74. And here to present that is my most able staff, Aaron Schein. And before we do that, Representative Olson?
I would move to adopt version E.
Are there any objections? I will object for discussion purposes. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Ms. Schein.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Aaron Schein, and I am staff to Representative Craig Johnson. Today I'll be walking through the changes between SB 74, the Autism Insurance Coverage Bill, from the version A to version E. The changes that I'll be speaking to will be version E. In Section 1, Subsection A, on page 1, lines 10 and 11, following the word physician or psychologist, comma, is replaced with comma, psychologist, comma, or advanced nurse practitioner, comma. Section 1, subsection A on page 1, line 13, following the word treatment, may include is deleted and replaced with the words includes. Section 1, subsection A1 on page 2, lines 3, the phrase necessary to develop, comma, restore, or maintain the functioning of an individual to the maximum extent practicable was removed was moved from after the word therapies to after the word programs on line 3. This change clarifies that the standard applies to both applied behavior analysis and structured behavioral therapies. Section 1, a new subsection C is added. On page 2, lines 25 through 28, subsection C will exempt a business with 20 employees or less from being required to provide autism insurance coverage. Section 1, a new subsection D is added. On page 2, lines 29 through 31, and page 3, lines 1 through 3, subsection D states that, which adds a provision that employers with 21 to 25 employees may be exempt from being required to provide autism insurance coverage when they demonstrate that the increases to their premium for a consecutive 12-month period is greater than 3%.
Representative Grinberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this can be to Ms. Schein or anybody else. Suppose they have insurance, health insurance with Company A, and theirs will increase more than 3%, but they could go to Company B and get insurance with a cost that would be less than 3%. Will they be able to get out under this, or is there a duty to try to get insurance that would meet the requirement?
Representative Grinberg, there is not a duty to try to do that. I think any prudent businessman would look for a cheaper insurance policy. I think if autism is going to be less expensive to cover, it will also be less expensive for other things. And we're trying to avoid as many mandates as we can on private business. And to mandate them to go shopping for insurance is not something I'm comfortable with, so no, there is not. But I think a prudent businessman who is looking at doing the best for his employees and the bottom line would certainly always be looking for the best deal he could get on insurance. Please proceed.
In Section 1, Subsection F, on page 3, line 8, inserts has after the word or. Section 1, Subsection G5, on page 3, lines 23 through 24, following the word physician or psychologist, comma, has been replaced with comma, psychologist, comma, or advanced nurse practitioner, comma. In Section 2 of the bill, on page 4, line 7, the enactment date, January 1st of 2012, is replaced with January 1st, 2013. Section 3, on page 4, line 8, the effective date is changed from immediately after or under AS01.10.070C to January 1st, 2013. And that concludes the changes to the bill and version.
Any questions for the maker of the amendments? Hearing and seeing none, you might sit there or not, whatever you're comfortable with. With that, we will go to public testimony. Is there anyone who would like to testify on SB 94? Or 74, I'm sorry. Is there anyone in the room? Public building. We do have someone to testify. Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
My name is Denny DeWitt. I'm the Alaska Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. While we appreciate the movement that this makes, mandates, unfunded mandates, are mandates and are unfunded mandates. While I appreciate it, our membership appreciates it, and we appreciate the fact that a number of the more fragile businesses in Alaska will be protected. This remains a mandate. And the legislature, who, if you look at, think of it in a corporate sense, is the board of directors for the Alaska State Corporation, we need to put on the record that it's interesting that you're ignoring your own personnel policies and you're mandating personnel policies on other businesses in Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. DeWitt? You're gone. Is there anyone else who would like to testify? We do have Dennis Bailey from Ledge Legal for questions only, if you would like to, any questions on that. Is there anyone else online to testify? Is there anyone else in the room who'd like to testify on this? No, okay. With that, this will bring SB 74 back to committee. Actually, I'll close public testimony first. And this will bring SB 74 back before the committee. Are there any questions for the committee? Hearing and seeing no one else on the committee, is there a motion?
I move LCS for Senate Bill 74 version /E to report out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Hearing seeing none, SB 74 is passed out of committee. Before us now, we will have SB 23, the film tax credit, and where is Representative Thompson's staff? Let's take a brief at ease. Three, and to present the changes to that bill, Representative Thompson, put your name on the record. And
you need to adopt this here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we do. Senator Olson. Representative Olson.
Move to adopt House Committee Substitute for CS for Senate Bill 23, labeled /UU.
And I will object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Representative, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Steve Thompson from Fairbanks, representative for House District Number 10. This CS for SB 23 is about policy. Credits have been the issue of much debate this year. SB 23 is about incenting the issues that are important to Alaskans and are good for the state. These incentives have been thoroughly briefed in both bodies by many committees. They include SB 23, HB 289, SB 153, HB 276, and SB 145. The votes on both floors have been overwhelmingly in favor of these incentives. SB 23 will encourage commerce with credits for the film industry, new oil and gas development in unexplored regions, and the commercialization of natural gas to Alaskans, quite possibly by Alaskans. Again, these incentives have been thoroughly briefed in both bodies by many committees. The bill will not answer all the issues we set out to solve this year, but it will move Alaska forward by encouraging industry, development, and hope to communities that are feeling the strain of Alaska's energy drain, opening the way for new resources, exploration, that will benefit not only the state's bottom line, but the people of Alaska. I'll have my aide, Jane Pearson, walk you through the new portions of this bill. and I hope that next year we can come back and do the same for the legacy fields.
Thank you. Any questions of the sponsor? Pearson?
For the record, my name's Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Steve Thompson. The CS for Senate Bill number 23 that you have before you is a compilation of Senate Bill 23 as it came out of the House Finance Committee. It's HB 289 as it came out of past the House, and it's HB 276 as it came out of the Senate. The Senate added amendment into what passed the House floor. I have the fiscal note here explaining what it did by Lenny Dees, and I have an explanation by Roger Marks, both of which probably explain what the Senate did better than I can do. Lenny Dees says, the bill adds a new section to AS 4355, the new AS 4355-162, entitled Adjustment for Production Tax Value for Increasing Oil and Gas Production, incentivizes certain qualifying new production by reducing the production tax value for production from a lease or property north of the 68th degrees latitude. That was not as of January 1, 2008, within a unit or in commercial production, by 30% of the gross value at the point of production for the first 10 consecutive years after the start of sustained production. The adjusted production tax value is the amount upon which the base tax rate and progressivity tax index is applied to determine the producer's production tax liability. The bill also makes the appropriate changes to AS 4355-011E1 and G to reflect the change in production tax calculations for the reduction in production tax value. Roger Marks described this new addition by the Senate as, this proposal uses the same tax rates for ACEs with the gross value reduced by 30% for new fields for the first 10 years. Thus, the nominal tax rate is the same as for ACEs. We did make one change when we brought the CS before you from the Senate's version, and that is where it was applied to 68 degrees north latitude. This new production allowance will now apply to everywhere outside of Cook Inlet. So Middle Earth would fall into this new tax rate after its own provision expires.
Question, did I hear you say north of 68?
North of 68 was how it came out of the Senate. We changed it so it was outside of the Cook Inlet, so Middle Earth would also apply.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for the record. Mm-hmm. Any questions of the bill sponsor? Thank you. You might have a seat. You never know what's going to happen. With that, we'll go to public testimony. Jerry Levine in Anchorage, are you there? Hello, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the House Rules Committee. My name is Jerry Levine. I live in District 19, and I own and operate a film and services production company and equipment rental business. I testified against SB 23 in House Finance Subcommittee. My main concern was for Alaska businesses and competition. While I am in favor of the generous support for Alaska Hire that the bill before you provides, trading a $1 tax credit for a $1 of Alaska resident hire, Representative Costello and the subcommittee should be praised for looking out for the best interest of Alaska residents. During my testimony, I discussed a term used in the industry known as pass-through, in which a producer may use a local Alaska vendor to pass through expenses that are not actually, that are made actually outside the state to non-Alaskan businesses. An example of out-of-state expenses include cameras, lights, autos to include catering trucks, portable makeup trucks, portable honey wagons, makeup and hair, and the shipping expenses to get all that stuff here, and then the shipping expenses to ship it back out-of-state when the film wraps. Add that to the incentives also pay for the travel of non-resident workers, whether commercial airlines or private jets. This loophole was not closed and creates a very difficult position for Alaska businesses to compete against non-Alaska businesses. For example, Washington State closed their pass-through loophole to include language that even Washington vendors may not rent or purchase supplies outside the state for the purposes of incentive qualification or tax nexus. With the new CS that's before you, I ran some numbers using the Big Miracle tax credit application that was approved by the state. And a rough calculation, I estimate that that under the new CS, that particular production would qualify for a $12.5 million estimated tax credit. Under the current bill, they actually received $9.6 million. So my rough estimation calculates that they would get more money and tax credits under the new CS. My concern is again the pass-through. It's a roundabout accounting way to still allow for the salaries of above the line to still qualify for large sums of money, which, as I understand, 65% of Alaskans said that they did not want to pay for above the line directors, actors, producers' salaries. And so I find that the CS, as good as it is for Alaska residents, it's got a weird accounting for allowing this money to still leave the state through the tax credit system and possibly paying for these salaries that Alaskans don't want to pay for. So I ask you to consider tabling SB 23 until next year, when the 28th legislature could take over. As I stated in House Finance Subcommittee, legislative audit has not completed the audit. There is no public study of the program. Right now it's just private studies. So again, thanks for your time. I encourage you to table SB 23 and appreciate participating in the public process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Viner. I appreciate very much your testimony. Mike Brinster from Homer, are you there, Mike? I'm sorry, Mark.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mark Brinster here in Homer.
Go ahead and state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin.
Okay, my name is Mark Brinster, B-R-I-N-S-T-E-R. I've been a film professional for over 30 years in Alaska, and I appreciate this opportunity to, again, testify against SB 23. While I applaud the effort of the subcommittee to add incentives for local hire, which has been especially important to me, I just feel that the language regarding above-line salaries is not entirely clear, as well as adequate safeguards to prevent Hollywood from taking advantage. I think we know that this is an industry quite famous for what they call creative accounting, what one court in California described as the most unconscionable accounting practices in the world, and I think that Alaska needs to be especially careful when dealing with Hollywood in a subsidy program. I do believe that the bill in 2008 was rushed without adequate debate, and I think the result has been problematic. Numerous loopholes, pass-throughs, and a disproportionate amount of subsidies paying for non-resident wages. 84% in 2011 of the wages that were subsidized by this program went to non-residents. There is a legislative audit, I understand, underway, and the program does not sunset till next year. I simply believe that we should wait till we know more and table this till the 28th legislature. So I ask you to do so and assure Alaskans that we don't continue to subsidize Hollywood, California, and let's protect the interests of all Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brinster. Lawrence Golden, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Chairman.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record and start your testimony.
Thank you, sir. My name is Lawrence A. Golden. I'm a resident of Anchorage. My production company is Aurora Films. I've been producing, making films in Alaska for nearly 40 years now. and I've worked on feature films that were funded by outside production companies, as well as feature films that were funded in Alaska, as well as having worked as a cinematographer for National Geographic specials and second unit director of photography on features and high-budget commercials. I'm probably best known for my historical documentaries, the most recent of which was Statehood, which some of you may have seen last year when it was screened at the legislature. Regarding the SB 23, my main interest is to see that the Alaskan film industry benefits. Mr. Chairman, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we could, and then you got cut off, and now we hear you fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I switched over to a speakerphone from a handset that went dead. I'm sorry, sir, and I apologize if the quality is reduced somewhat. Anyway, my interest has been to see that Alaskans benefit, that the film industry benefits from these subsidies. And I can see where, and a lot of credit is due to Representative Costello and other members of the Finance Committee for putting in a provision that would allow what are referred to as above-the-line functions, director, writer, principal actors, producer, that for persons who fill those roles, who qualify as state residents, that this bill would allow as much as 50% of those salaries to qualify for tax incentives. And I think that's very important, to bring those incentives to incentivize Alaskan participation at these key creative and administrative positions, because that's the only way that Alaskans will move into the ability to actually own media productions, so that the profits from those productions stay in Alaska rather than going to New York and Hollywood. And when that happens, the private sector in Alaska will increase its capital and will be able to better produce, invest in infrastructure, crew training, and future productions. So I think all of that is a very good addition to the bill. I'm a bit concerned about the cap on incentives for those same categories of professionals. If they are not Alaska residents, the subcommittees prior to this and the committees prior to this have heard testimony as to how that might actually dampen out-of-state investment in Alaska. And so I'm concerned about that. And I think the 5% cap is pretty low and could have a detrimental effect to us in the long term. Because while I want Alaskans to own media productions and to participate as employees as much as possible, it's going to take time for that to develop. And in the meantime, the most readily available sources of capital for improving our industry and getting more jobs is going to be these non-resident producers coming in from California, New York, and other places. So there's been a lot of testimony about that. So I'll drop that point. A second category of concern for me is the makeup and functions of the Film Commission, which would be empowered to evaluate and pass judgment on the worthiness of projects for the tax incentives. And the aspects of the bill that have to do with their approving projects based on whether or not those projects are perceived to be in the best interest of Alaska can be problematical. Yes, of course, we want projects that are in the best interest of Alaska, but the Film Commission is currently composed are four commissioners of state departments. And those kinds of people, and this is not a reflection on the people who fill those positions today, but rather on anybody who's a political appointee, these people are going to be necessarily very, very, very cautious. And the interpretation of best interests, best financial interests of the state of Alaska, is pretty nebulous. And I'm concerned that some of the films that have been recently produced in Alaska might not pass muster to that kind of judgment had this been in place before. For example, the film Everybody Loves Whales, well, there's some controversial remarks about the oil industry in Alaska. In the film On Frozen Ground, somebody might say, well, you know, that film portraying the misadventures, the bad behavior of one Alaskan is bad for, you know, for our state, because we don't want people thinking that all Alaskans are serial killers. The film, even the film On the Ice, which was produced in Barrow about Inupiaq people, somebody might object to that because that film very openly deals with issues of drug abuse and other social issues in isolated rural communities. So people who are hypersensitive to that, you know, to that kind of, to the content of films could, veto any number of, could have vetoed those projects or others in the future. And, you know, the film industry is nothing if it's not about controversial topics. So I think that portion of the bill is of concern to me. At the very least, I would like to suggest that other members be added to that commission, people whose responses and perspectives are perhaps more long-term and broader. For example, this could be people from the State Council on the Arts, from the Humanities Forum, maybe a staff person from the film department at the university in Fairbanks or the film and journalism department in Anchorage. People who, you know, who will take a broader view will understand that for the artistic process, some leeway is required to let people express themselves, and you simply got to take your chances on audiences to make reasonable and informed judgments about Alaska based on a fuller perspective of our lives here. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll end my testimony, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. We have Bob Crockett online. Bob, I want to ask you to keep it short if you could. Are you there, Mr. Crockett?
Yes, I am. For the record, my name is Bob Crockett, and I represent the Alaska Film Group. I'll be brief. This bill is not perfect, but it does allow this industry to move forward. I encourage you to move this legislation forward. It allows a tremendous benefit to Alaskans because it ties above the line to wages that are spent on Alaska wages and Alaska business. And I encourage you to pass this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online to testify? Is there anyone in the room would like to testify? Hearing and seeing none, I will close public testimony. I will remove my objection. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, we're going to take a brief at ease. I'm not certain how brief it will be. And it's house brief, so people in the room knows what that is. So with that, we'll take a brief at ease. I've closed public testimony. Any questions from the committee? Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to propose a conceptual amendment.
Okay.
And I'll try to get through this, Mr. Chairman, and I think Jane can speak to it, but the conceptual amendment would be to remove Section 18.
Would you move conceptual amendment number one?
I would move conceptual amendment number one.
And I will object for first purposes of discussion.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, what Section 18 would do would remove Section 18, and any references to Section 18 in the bill?
And would... And we have Ms. Pearson here to explain exactly what that does.
Chairman Johnson, for the record, my name is Jane Pearson. What this amendment does is to remove the 30% gross tax allowance that was put into this bill by the Senate that would apply to above the 68-degree parallel, and it would remove all references to it. So the only tax now in this bill for gas and oil is the tax advantage for Middle Earth.
And above six, would you explain what above 68 is for those who may not
above
have been through this many, many years like we have?
Above the 68th parallel would be the North Slope.
Okay, thank you. And so what I understand is we're removing the North Slope from this tax exemption?
This tax allowance, yes. Allowance. And that came under Section 4355162, and it was a new ordinance.
And I appreciate, I think this was an oversight. I don't think that was ever the sponsor's intention. And I wanted to point out that it's a good catch on the speaker and staff's behalf. So with that, any questions about the amendment? Representative Tuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify. It removes the North Slope from the tax exemptions. Is that what this does? Just this for clarification?
Representative Tuck, through the chair, that's exactly what this does. It removes the 30% tax allowance in the North Slope.
Okay. Representative Greenberg.
And if we didn't have it, then all Middle Earth would be removed. You just want to remove the North Slope.
Representative Greenberg, through the chair, no, that's not exactly true. They're two different issues. This adjustment on the North Slope was just directed to the North Slope, and Middle Earth was addressed as Middle Earth.
Okay. It's beginning to sound like a Hobbit movie. Any questions or comments on that? And so basically we understand what we're doing is we're moving the North Slope from this particular tax bill, and that will be treated separately, I'm sure, at a very near future date.
Okay, may I,
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought when we originally heard the changes to the bill, I thought it included House Bill 289, House Bill 276, which was passed out of the Senate, and then what was included in addition to that with this new CS was that Section 18. Is that correct?
Representative Tuck, through the chair, yes, that is correct. It was a drafting error, and it shouldn't have been in there. And I'm very glad the speaker caught it, and so there's now an amendment to remove it.
Okay, and if I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Tuck.
That it was a drafting error, but you did speak on its behalf as if Representative Thompson was the one that added that in.
Representative Tuck, through the chair, I did speak to it. I did not realize that was I did not realize that it was actually in the bill and that it should be removed from the bill. And after speaking with...
Thank you, Representative Tuck. If you're going to blame anyone for me, it should be the chairman. I introduced it, so if there's any complaints about why it's in there, how it's in there, it should be to me.
Okay, I was just trying to figure if it really was a mistake or not, because it seemed like it appeared that it was...
Clearly, had I caught it, it would have been seen as a mistake, and I'm thankful for the speaker's eagle eye.
Okay.
So if anyone needs to... It needs to be at me.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. Any other questions on the amendment? Hearing and seeing none, I will remove my objection. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Is there objection? My objection is removed, so the amendment passes. We have closed public testimony. That brings the whole bill before us. Any questions on the whole bill? And I know you have some, but we can work that out. Hearing and seeing none, Mr. Vice Chairman.
I move to report out of committee Senate Bill 23-UU as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. I just want to put on the record my recommendation will be...
We have a motion on the floor. Let me dispose of that motion.
But if I'm objecting to that for the purpose...
Okay, okay.
Thank you. Just for the record, I'm going to be recommending amend for the reasons we've discussed, okay. But I certainly have no objection to moving the bill.
Thank you. And I don't know if I remove my objection to adopting the CS, but if not, I'll do it at this time.
Would you like another motion?
Would you make another motion, Mr.
I move to report out of committee Senate Bill 23-UU, amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Are there objections? Hearing and seeing none, SB 23 moves out of committee. With that, we will recess to a call of the chair.